Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. This season, join me for the Men of Faith in Business podcast takeover. Join me to hear the stories of powerful men of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. And this season of the Men of Faith Takeover, I'm excited to be talking to this next man of faith. And as a customer journey executive for 20 years, Darren D.C. Lyons built relationships across the globe, managing a business process outsourcer organization in Asia, Central America, and South America. When he was the director of global customer care for 1-800-Flowers.com, he led a vendor organization of over 1,000 FTEs across 7 partners in 5 countries and 10 cities. Over the past 5 years, Darren has had numerous health issues, including 2 below-knee amputations, stage 5 kidney failure requiring dialysis 3 times a week, and he is also a stroke survivor. Yet, Darren has used the concepts learned managing vendors to help him overcome his physical limitations, leaning into your discomfort, the power of partnerships, and the importance of clear, consistent, and concise communication. Darren's story is one of triumph because of his tenacity, and desire to fight back for his life through these trials. Darren and his lovely wife, Ellen, founded Courier Inc. with a vision to create inspirational books and faith-based media projects. So much good stuff, Darren. So thankful for you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here. And my wife's name is Elaine.
Elaine, what did I say?
I think you said Ellen.
Correction there. Yeah. Whenever I read, I always mess something up. So,
and not to point anything out, but it is my wife's name. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yes, no, I totally understand that. Thank you so much for the correction, Elaine, not Ellen. And yes, thank you so much for joining us today for the podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your bio?
Nothing I'd like to add. Well, I would like to say I consider myself a man of God. I'm a member of the Voice of Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church, where I serve as an elder and help there with some of the duties there. So I'm so proud and so glad to be here with you. Glad to be part of the takeover.
All right. Amen. And welcome to the podcast, a fellow SDA. I am also a Seventh-day Adventist. So it's always a pleasure to welcome another Adventist to the podcast today. So as you know, the podcast is all about both faith and business, and everyone has a specific journey, a very unique and different journey. So it's always eye-opening, and there's so much we can glean from and learn from people's journey. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about your business journey. How did you go on this journey to become an entrepreneur and a business owner? What did that journey look like for you?
It's a great question, Naomi. Nadine, I would like to say that I was drafted into this. I didn't have a dream, Nadine, of owning a business or starting a business. I was drafted due to my health issues. I was a corporate executive running large call centers and really enjoying it. I had stepped away because of a job change and was looking to step back in, but then I discovered a cut on my left heel. And being a stubborn-headed man, I didn't go get it looked at. And because of a life of dealing with diabetes, I fell into some physical issues. And I like to say that one day I limped into an emergency room in Oklahoma City. And then that 2 days later, they amputated my left leg below my knee to save my life. So then, because I was, and then as what happens along, what happens with amputees of lower extremities, I had a second leg amputated the next year below the knee. And then also I was started dialysis, right? My kidneys gave up the ghost and I started dialysis. So now I was disabled. I was a disabled person. And I knew that although I was thankful to get disability, I knew it wouldn't be enough to take care of my family, help my wife and help build a legacy I wanted to build. So I started a business, I started writing when I was in dialysis as therapy for myself to share my story. And then I wanted to build a business around that. And that's how I started the business journey with writing a couple of books. The first one was A Day in the Life in a Skilled Nurse Facility. And then my most recent release with Worn Out Tools. So I really started to support writing books and I have kept that up since then.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you phrase it by saying I was drafted into this, right? I think about when you say drafted, like being drafted into the army, drafted, you know, so to know that you were drafted into entrepreneurship and business ownership and that journey that you took to get there and knowing that, you know, you needed to provide for your family and starting off by being an author, you know, God has given us authority. And I believe, you know, being an author and putting the messages that he desires for us to put out into the marketplace is a part of that authority, right? It's a part of authoring is authority. So loving that your journey started off with being an author and writing a book and then building a whole business around it. And as you put in your bio, you know, creating inspirational books and faith-based media projects. So knowing that your business is around that initiative is awesome. So thank you so much for sharing all those nuggets in your business journey. So tell us a little bit about your faith journey, because similar to a business journey, everyone's faith journey is unique and different. How did you specifically become a believer in Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I grew up in the Baptist church, Sister Nadine. I like to say I was a Baptist bred and Baptist bone. And when I dare to be a Baptist gone, right? I was totally Baptist my whole life. And then even up through college when I left home. And I stepped away from church a little bit in college, not knowingly. I just didn't go because I was, you know, I didn't have a car. I wasn't ambitious enough to try to get there. And then, but after church, after college, I went running back to church, right? And became a member of the Antioch Baptist Church in Fairfax, Virginia. I actually one of the founding members there. Went from being a church, I think I was member 42 or 49. Now they have over 2,000 members, several properties and things of that nature. So had a good experience. And then I met a woman, as a lot of great love stories start. Then there was a girl. I met my wife. And because she had two daughters, we wanted to show a couple going to church to our daughters. They were teenage daughters. So I started going to the Mount Calvary Seventh-day Adventist Church. And took about 10 years. Thank God that he is long-suffering. But I was sitting in the treasury room one day at 10th Street. And I was like, why don't I just join? God said, you know, just serve. And I began to serve in the church. And that started my transition to be a Seventh-day Adventist, Sabbath-keeping Christian. And I have enjoyed this part of the journey and learning and growing in my faith and in this new knowledge of the Lord. So that's been my faith journey.
Awesome. I love it. I love that you were, you know, born into it, basically grew up as, you know, somebody of faith. But I do find that, you know, every time I do interviews, there is some type of season of wandering, right? Whether it's on purpose or not on purpose. And in your case, you didn't necessarily wander because you lost faith. You just didn't, you know, keep up with it, for lack of a better way of saying it, through those. And it's amazing because it's usually those college years. It's something about those 20s that has these wilderness moments.
That's
like a pattern that I see. This wilderness moment always happens in the 20s. But whether
you're in college or not, people wonder.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Very true. But thank God we have a faithful God, you know, who's there for us no matter where we are in life. And knowing that he tugged at your heart that after college, you went straight back into the church and became active in the Baptist faith. And then, of course, meeting your wife and then learning about Adventism and being a part of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. God has seen you through this journey as we evolve, as we all evolve. Amen. On our faith journeys, right? So thankful for that. So what made you decide to combine your faith and your business? We talked about, you know, your faith journey. We talked about your business journey. And some people can be believers, Christians, people of faith, but they don't combine it with business. And sometimes actually it can even be taboo, right? People can say, oh, it's supposed to be separate. You don't talk about faith and business, two separate things. A lot of times, especially coming from a corporate background, they kind of shy away with combining faith and business. So what made you step into actually combining your faith and business and building a business around them?
That's a great question. And I come from a corporate background, many diverse industries, right? Insurance, banking, credit cards, all those things. And faith was taboo. Well, being explicit about your faith, I've seen opportunities in my business in corporate America and also in my own business to integrate my faith into it, whether it is when I was terminating somebody because I worked in a call center, and you terminate a lot of people in call centers. And, you know, that moment, there's an opportunity to share your faith, or at the moment when you're given some tough feedback, an opportunity to share your faith. Also, I've seen that in my corporate business as an entrepreneur. I've seen the opportunity to integrate my faith, whether it be clients. I have a couple of, had the opportunity and the pleasure of having a couple of executive coaching clients that are pastors. And they're not looking for faith from me. They don't need any of that. But what they need from me is accountability. They need partnership. They need to get ideas out of their thoughts out of their head, and transfer those ideas, transform those ideas into breakthroughs. So they need some thought and some partnership, and have opportunity to share my faith sometime with them, or bring them back with something of faith. And then other folks who may not be pastors, they might be corporate executives, opportunities to share my faith with them as well during tough times. You know, this life is a journey, and the ups and downs, and there come opportunities to share. But I tell you, Sister Nadine, that the opportunity to share my faith has really come as I've grown as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I've noticed that right before the pandemic, I got to say, before the pandemic, I knew about the Sabbath and celebrated the Sabbath and certainly worshiped on the Sabbath. But I've learned things about delighting in the Sabbath, right, which is what God wants us to do. And I've had my best year when I've been more focused on keeping the Sabbath and more focused on maintaining that discipline. It's become a business discipline for me that on the Sabbath, you know, it's funny. I used to have dialysis on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So on the Sabbath, I could sneak and do a little bit of research and do a little stuff. And I got to be honest, that's what I was doing. But when the pandemic started and we switched my dialysis to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on Saturday, I would be at home with my wife. And I know I couldn't sneak and not keep the Sabbath, right? I'm being honest. So I was challenged to do that. And that discipline of the Sabbath. And I will say that although I've lost time and productivity, my business has grown. My revenue has actually grown. So I praise God for that. And because he said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, right? So he is true to his word.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the key things I got out of you combining your faith and your business is that, you know, there's always an opportunity to integrate your faith. There's always an opportunity to integrate your faith, you know, starting out in corporate, whether it's like, you know, just sharing a word with your coworker, you know, you might not be publicly displaying and claiming and doing all the things, but just a side conversation, you never know what can happen and what you can plant in someone's spirit with one conversation, you know. So there's always an opportunity to integrate your faith, and then integrating your faith in your business just allows you a different platform, a different ability to really shine the light on God, know, shine the light on your relationship and even just in your everyday movements, like you explained about, you know, the pandemic did so many things for all of us. I believe it was a time of shifting, right? It was a time of real true shifting for individuals into true alignment, is my opinion. So he really aligned you with what the Sabbath and his word can do for you by observing it fully, right? So it really is a journey. And a lot of times you see in the marketplace, certain businesses, and Chick-fil-A always comes to mind as an example of this, though they worship on Sunday, they still observe a day and close a fast food restaurant to give their employees rest and time to worship. So I think it's a great example in the marketplace of a corporation, a business, actually observing God's word by offering a day of rest to their employees and to their customers. So yeah, the Sabbath can be an amazing blessing to individuals. So I totally understand that. So yes, thank you for sharing that. One of the things that I've noticed as believers is we always have a desire to hear from God. Is this actually a God thing, or is it just a good thing? You know, is this something I need to be doing? People want to hear the word from God or hear God's voice. So I'd love for you to share, you know, how you hear God's voice. How do you know in regards to your business, whether this is the direction that God is leading you in? How are you discerning God's voice? What does that look like for you when it comes to your business decisions?
That is a great question. I like to say, you know, in movies, there's this big moment and everything changes and gets better. I've noticed in life, the big moments, things get better and then they get worse and they get worse or whatever. What I have learned to do is I think about God, when Moses asked God, you know, when Moses went to God and God said, "What's in your hand?" Right. And he sees the staff is in his hand. And what I've looked at, Sister Nadine, is what's in my hand, and it's hope, right? I've learned to dip into my reservoir of hope when things go wrong, when I start to feel discouraged, when I start to feel challenged. I've learned how to dip into the reservoir of hope. I've noticed that there's always hope, right? I can always find some hope and always look forward and look ahead. I have learned that God has taught me to look for him in every situation, whether it is like I just added a new one of the things I do is the color code personality assessment. Before I started my own business, I took some training and learned the color code personality, much like Myers-Briggs and personality and DISC. But the color code to me is simple and more accurate. And I've actually trained about 500 plus executives in the color code. And then I was like, this is great. This is what I want to do. And the guy's like, what's in your hand? I'm like, well, the color code. And then he's like, do they have any other products? And now I just added a new 360 degree feedback process through the use of some of the principles of the color code. Always going back into that, Sister Nadine, what's in your hand, right? What do you have there? Always, I have a management discipline called an incubator process where I put things on a spreadsheet. I put them in the incubator as warm, and then it can either go cold or hot. And when I do that, sister, my business grows. But then when I don't do it, my business stays stagnant. So I always go back to that incubator process. It's a management discipline. What's in your hand? That's the thing I hear all the time from the Lord. Darren, don't worry about new business. Don't worry about, what opportunities have I put in front of you, right? What's in your incubator? What's in your hand? And work that's in your hand. Like preparing for this interview today, it was in my hand. And I praise God to take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. That's a word on its own. What I heard from you is hand and hope, right? Mm. You have to have hope. You can't give up, you know. Right. You have to have hope. And hope is one of the key things that, you know, God tells us we need to have. So hope is a part of the process. But we also have to be practical. You can't hope for something and then not do anything, right? Because as we know, faith without works is dead. So have that hope. But in addition, look at what's in your hands. That's where the work is, what's in your hands, and knowing that there's always something in our hands. There's so many times in scriptures that God has given people something in the hand, the lady with the oil and the jars, right? That was in her hands, and God is, God is a God of multiplication, right? So we start with what's in our hand and God will multiply that for us. So knowing that, you know, thinking about what do I currently have in my hands, you know, the assessments Amen. That you have, the things that you have in your hands, God will multiply that as long as we are using what's currently in our hands. So I appreciate that message of hope and hands. Open hands is like what that. I really heard. Yeah, I know, right? It's really what I heard.
I might steal that. Yeah.
You can go ahead and steal it. It's your words.
What I love about that story, though, had there been more jars, there'd been more oil, right? The only thing that stopped it from being more oil was there wasn't more jars. Amen. What's in your hand? What do you have? What do you have to give? You know?
Right. Yeah. And it simplifies it too, because I think this is an area that a lot of believers get stuck. Hearing from God, right? Like, was this a word from God? Is this a word from God? We just get so like caught up in it because right. we want to be in alignment. You know, our desire is to be in alignment with what God desires for us to do in the world. So sometimes we can stress ourselves out about it, but you've simplified it. Have hope and look at what's already in your hand. God has given mm-hmm. us opportunities and allowed us to connect with people. There's opportunities crossing our path all the time. So use what's already crossing your path, what's already in your hands, and God will do the rest. He will multiply. Amen. He will do his part in the process. So awesome. That is really a good way to know that you're hearing from God, having hope and using what's in your hand. Now, sometimes we have missteps, right? We're human. This is a human journey. So there are times where we do things wrong and we realize, oh, this isn't actually what I was supposed to be doing. Can you give us an example where maybe you felt God did some course correction when it came to your life or your business? What did that course correction look like for you?
The course correction for me was really the first client I lost. I had a great relationship with an old coworker of mine. And I was there, and they asked me to be the coach. And I just taken my John Maxwell certification in coaching. I felt good about what I was doing. And I was actually doing traveling. This was before the pandemic and coaching. And I felt like I grew my business with coaching. And then I was coming back from a trip. I'd done a color code personality assessment training in Tampa. And I was feeling great. Got back the next morning, had a coaching session. So I showed up for the session and I didn't have the energy that I needed. And I was not as patient with my client. And I think you could tell it. I didn't bring it, Nadine. I didn't bring it. And he, after that, asked to take a break and he left. At that moment, there were two things I realized is that I would never lose a client again because I didn't bring the energy or the passion or the patience. So actually before most coaching sessions, I pray for patience, curiosity, and creativity. Patience, curiosity, and creativity. Then number two, I realized I couldn't sustain. I needed to integrate the color code, training, and coaching, and speaking into my business. And I couldn't just build a business by having a lot of coaching clients because it took a lot of energy to do that, right? It takes a lot of energy to coach people, to get into the thought processes that are in their head and transform those thought processes into breakthroughs. So I needed to have a strategy of planning out a certain number of color code personality webinars, a certain number of 360 degree feedback processes, and also speaking engagements, which I'm praying to grow now, and along with coaching to grow my business. So really corrected that. And I will say I've never lost anyone. I've lost clients, of course, because that happens. Your time with a client runs its course, but not because I didn't bring the energy or the passion as well. Always looking for what God has for me in that coaching relationship, what I can offer, what I can give.
Yeah, so good, so good. Sometimes course correction includes losing contracts, losing clients, because God wants to correct us, right? And so we right. have to have some type of experience to get the revelation and get the realization of what needs to be changed or corrected. So course correction can include loss of things like contracts yeah. and can include loss of clients, but you also gain, because now you've gained the knowledge of what you needed, right? You need what you need to move forward and be better and serve excellence in the marketplace. And the knowledge that you gained was knowing that you need to come with the energy, right? You need to come with the passion and you need to come with the patience. So through that process, you learn that some of the key things that will help you to create the transformation that your clients need is you have to have energy, right? You have to have passion and you have to be patient because people are human beings, right?
That's right.
So those three things were illuminated and highlighted for you as to how you can now be better at what you need to do and how you do it for your clients. So course correction is definitely about us learning, growing, and becoming all that God desires for us to be. So I love that you learned from that course correction.
Yeah, I did. And you know, and you always have that hope to go back to. I've never gone to dip from in my reservoir and hope and not have it, right? So curiosity, patience, creativity, it is all there for you to do. And they're paying. The least I can do is show up with energy. The least I can do is show my interest in them, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. Now, I have two signature questions that I always ask on every episode. And I know you've listened to a couple episodes, so you're probably knowing that these questions are coming up. And the first one is, how would you define the power of faith? How would you define power of faith?
The power of faith. You know, when I was going through my first amputation, my second amputation, my stroke, going through rehabilitation, I learned a lot about faith. I learned to listen for those things that God said about me, right? God said that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that you will, when you ask about faith, whether you call for Gentiles or Jews, right? And I know that's the concept you use a lot. I thought about that. I was like, ooh, that's an interesting concept. Let me go into that. And I believe because I was in corporate America, because I have all these relationships in corporate America, I was called more for Gentiles, right? So I know that I need to ensure that I am maybe using the language of faith, but also making sure that I'm being conscious of how people might perceive some of that language. So when you say words like journey and path, right, they're faith words, but maybe not as blatant with it. I like to say that, you know, the idea of faith, right, the idea of things, seeing things as if they are, right, is difficult for people who are not believers. But praise God that he asked you to have a mustard seed of faith. He said, with a mustard seed of faith, you can move mountains. I'm glad that God didn't ask for an avocado seed of faith, right? Because I don't have that, right? Some days all I have is a mustard seed. So with just a little bit of faith, I'm amazed at what you can achieve and you can accomplish. And also, when you're talking to people who are Gentiles, as you put it, all you're asking for them is a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith in themselves, a little bit of faith in what they've learned, a little bit of faith in the unknown. And that might be what God is to them, the unknown, right? Just a mustard seed of faith, not an avocado seed, a mustard seed.
Yeah, so with the power of faith is really with just a little bit of faith, you are able to achieve and accomplish all that God has for you to do in the marketplace with just that little mustard seed of faith. You can actually achieve and accomplish everything that God has set out for you to accomplish in the marketplace and who he has assigned you to in the marketplace. So that is awesome with the power of faith. Now, how would you describe define the power of business?
That's a great question. When I think about the power of business, I think about Psalms 1:3, and he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, will bring forth his fruit in his season, right? And always ask yourself, is it your season? Is it your season? Just the other day, an entrepreneur goes through this cycle of you know, highs and lows, right? And my faith has really been tested as an entrepreneur, really been tested. I'm praying over some things now for my business, for Corey Inc., and really being tested, not necessarily seeing the way through, but believing there is a way through. You know, Nadine, God's been trying to teach me the same lessons all the time. And growing up, it's Darren, take your time, because I get a little ahead of myself. Darren, what's in the way might be the way. He's been trying to teach me that over and over and over. And also, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So take your time and be careful. He's been trying to teach me those three lessons my whole life. And when I had a paycheck, I wasn't as anxious to listen to those lessons. But now as an entrepreneur, I found that I need to learn those lessons, those same three lessons, no matter how many classes I take, how many webinars I take, how much studying I do, how many certifications I get. It's the same three lessons. Darren, take your time. Darren, what's in the way might be the way. And also, Darren, lean into your discomfort. That's the other one. Lean into your discomfort. Those are the same things. He's been teaching me those for years, Sister Nadine. And that is what I try to do. That's that lesson of faith that I've learned through having my own business. The other day I had something go great in the morning and totally fail in the afternoon. A lesson each one of those. Like John Maxwell always says, there's a solution to every problem, but there's a lesson in every problem. And that's the entrepreneur journey.
Ain't that the truth? It's definitely a lot of ups and downs. There's lots of ups and downs, but pay attention to the personal lessons that God is telling you, whether it's a lesson of needing to wait and be patient, whether it's a lesson of not moving ahead of him. There's so many things that we can learn. And I honestly feel like the business journey is a faith journey. You know, I ask this question every single episode about the power of faith and the power of business, but ultimately it's a combination because this business journey is a faith journey and there's power in faith and there's power in business. And that's why this podcast is all about faith and business. Right. So I'm so excited for everything that you shared in this episode. If someone is interested in learning a little bit more about the work that you do in the world, the books and the faith-based media projects that you have going on, what would be the best way for them to connect with you?
They can connect with me either on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. My website is www.korior.com. So www.korior.com. Korior is our company business name because it's kind of my superhero name, combination of king and warrior. So korior.com. And they can also purchase my book through my latest book through my website as well, or through Amazon or through Barnes and Noble. It is With Worn Out Tools, Navigating the Rituals of Midlife.
Awesome. I love that. And thank you for the explanation of Korior. And so that truly is easy to understand. King and warrior combined gives the word Korior. So that is definitely good. So connect with DC, Darren, on all those networks. On social media, what is the handle? Should it be just your name, your business? What is the best way for them to connect with you on social media?
That's correct. On Facebook, and on Instagram, it is Korior, which is unique. And then also on LinkedIn, it's Darren DC Lyons.
Okay, perfect. So whether it's his business name, Korior, or his personal name, Darren DC Lyons, go ahead and connect with him on social media. This has been a great conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it, Darren. Thank you so much for sharing all of your faith and business nuggets and being a part of the Men of Faith takeover this season. Takeover. The men are taking over this season for this season of the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information you can use, but was insightful and inspirational. Wherever you are listening, be sure to subscribe to get the next episode or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you would like to discover three powerful ways to attract the people you are called to serve in the marketplace so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make, be sure to text POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. That's 404-982-4736.